Well, once again, good morning, and we are about to start lesson number 6, which will be our second lesson in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's an amazing thing that it's hard for us to fathom, because the statements I'm about to make don't set well with us in the natural man or the fleshly man. But it's hard for us to believe that we are a rebellious people, that when we were born, most of us, all of us, we are in a situation where what we really want to do is what do we want to do? What we want to do. Exactly. And I don't think God has a problem with that, but the problem is we don't realize that if we, like children, and our kids would do what they want to do, we would destroy ourselves. And so ultimately that's what you see in the book of Revelations if God doesn't step in. I mean, man's in the process of destroying himself when God steps in. And it ends up big gun rules, the powerful and the bold and the proud and the arrogant and the egotistical, they all move to the top. But we still are all doing our little parts in what we want to do. Well, God has a better plan where we can live forever. And this lesson on the immersion of the Spirit, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, it's so vast. So today we're going to cover just a very small facet of that, and we'll probably have 3 more lessons on this subject. But first thing we want to look at is when Jesus appears on the scene in the New Testament, in the Gospels, the leader of the Sanhedrin comes to him, a very schooled man, and Jesus even looks at this righteous man, a Zacchaeus, and he says to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So when we talk about water and spirit immersion, we've already learned about repentance is a type of death to self, death to sin. We've learned about the many immersions, or the final one Lord, one faith, one immersion, one baptism, now to be buried with Christ. And so what we're looking at in immersion of the Spirit is what the second Adam came to give, which is give back to us what the first Adam lost, and that is communication with God, or the Spirit of God, that we can be Spirit-led, and that our souls will be saved. And so Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asked him, he says, well, how can I be born when he's old? Once again, how can he be born again? And Jesus says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. 2 different elements. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, we've studied about the mikvah. We've studied about being immersed into water and how it's seen as the womb, the grave. It is a place of burial. And when we come forth, it is seen as the opportunity of a new day or a new life. Now then, we're looking at the immersion of the Spirit, which is the second portion of how Jesus says, except a man be born again of water and of the Spirit, and not or, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And what you're going to find out is, I doubt that you go to any Christian church, and I'm not teaching this lesson to be divisive or divisionary, I doubt that you go to any Christian church that would ever tell you that you can go to heaven without the Spirit of God. Now, you can go to the throne of judgment and then God can do what he wants. We're not here to judge. But where the dividing line comes is you're going to find out that just like repentance, just like water immersion, just like spirit immersion, that you have many different teachings on what that consists of. And when you get into this subject of spirit immersion, you get a lot of different church teaching opinions. So we're just going to let the Word of God speak as we go through these lessons. So lesson 1, we covered repentance. Lessons 2 through 4, baptism, total immersion. Now then, we're beginning in lessons 5 and 6, which is today, baptism of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, which equals the resurrection after our burial in water, after our burial to self, after our burial of repentance. It also represents restoration and power, being born again, a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And later on, I'll get into this. When Jesus prayed that we might be one as he and his Father are one, he and the Father in him, this is what it means when we're in Christ. There's just one Spirit. If you've received the Spirit of Christ, you receive the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of God. You're going to find that these are all synonymous terms. And just like in the Old Testament where we built altars to Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, they were not building altars to 7 different gods, but different functions of the one God. When you get into the New Testament, and you can write this down, Anytime it speaks of the Father, it is the act of the Creator. Anytime it speaks of the Son, it's speaking of the act of redemption. Anytime it speaks of the Holy Ghost, it's the regeneration. And it usually will say Holy Spirit because it's not the fullness of God moving through, it's a portion of God moving through man. It is a piece of the Spirit of God. It's the three acts of the one God, the three offices held in the New Testament. So what we see is, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are new. So why must we be born again? Well, the simplest way to say it is when Adam fell, he lost that place and that spirit that God had placed within his soul. And so at that point, he operated only from a human spirit. You and I, and some of you, I can't cover everything I'd like to say in this lesson. You and I, when we become born again, are a twofold, we are a dual-natured being. The spirit wars against the flesh against the spirit. But our spirit, when we're born again of the Spirit of God, we still have our human spirit. And that's why whichever one we feed is the one that grows. Every day, that's why if we don't take up the cross, then just because we've been born again of the Spirit doesn't mean we remain spiritual. Matter of fact, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? So we can go back to the things of the flesh to find ourselves acceptable to God, which has never worked. And so Jesus says to the leaders of that day of the church, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, he says, "You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." And so what we see is, I'm not trying to make us demons, but what we see is, as I said in the beginning of this lesson, that left alone, we will all do our own will. Many people won't live for God. The truth is they've never identified that they are rebellious. And rebellion is what? Witchcraft. Romans chapter 9, verse 6 through 13. Today we're going to deal with a specific aspect of this born-again subject. And we're first going to lay the fundamental foundation of how God Himself showed us from the very beginning that we needed to be born again. Even the world was baptized in water, and He separated the saints from the sinners with immersion. So God is speaking here through the writer of Romans chapter 9, not as though the Word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel, which are Israel. Now, Israel, He's speaking of the nation. He's speaking of these that claim to be Jews in that day. I'm going back 2,000 years. In other words, their salvation was in the progeny of they were the fact that they were of the sons of Abraham. And so what happened is because they were in this race, in this lineage, in this tribes, then they were the people of God. However, the truth is they were not. Some of them were. And this is, I don't think like this, but I'm going to teach like this. That's probably the example of today in the church. Many people believe and have been taught because they go to church or they're in a church, they are the people of God. But that's not true. So not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are of the seed of Abraham are they the children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, this is such a vast portion of Scripture. It assumes you already understand all the fundamental foundation building up to this. Who is Isaac? Isaac was the child of promise. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? For the promise is to you and your children, and as many are afar off as the Lord our God shall call. And so what we see is Isaac is a miracle birth. So everything we look at, we're going to see a type and shadow of when Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Know ye not, you must be born again." In other words, but Nicodemus had the same problem that most had in that day, of even the scholars. They had a head knowledge, but they did not have a spiritual understanding of the types and shadows of the truth of the Word of God. And so when we look at Isaac, there is no way that Isaac should have been born. It was a miracle birth. A miracle birth. And then I could go on with that. And so Isaac is what? He's the firstborn. Is he? No. Ishmael's the firstborn of his father. Hold on to that. So that is they which are the children of flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. In other words, just because you're the seed of Abraham, you're not of the seed of promise. You've got to be of the seed of the promised child, the promised birth, the miracle birth. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. Now this is the point I'm wanting to get to. We're in the New Testament. Remember, if I were preaching the gospel today, if I stood before Pilate, if I stood in Rome, for the first 300 years, the only Bible I could preach out of was that the American church has done away with, the Old Testament. And I've preached to you the gospel many times out of the Old Testament. People that have thrown it away have thrown away the best part. The New Testament is just the fulfillment of the commentary of the Old. And so what we see is, for he tells us, he's preaching out of the Old Testament. He's preaching the new concept of the new covenant. For the children not being yet born, who's he talking about? Oh, I'm glad you asked. He's now talking about Esau and Jacob. Now, who were Esau and Jacob? Ah, according to God's plan. He has two natures inside of a womb. And what are those two natures doing? And it's recorded even while they're inside of the womb. Fighting one with another. Are you with me out there? So I'm going to say it again. The reason we must be born again. Our nature, our firstborn nature, will fight against the things of God. Now, I'm not saying this. The Bible's saying this. For the carnal mind is the... What's the carnal mind? The firstborn thought process. Okay? It's the enemy of God. For the children not being yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Therefore it said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And by the way, Jacob I love, and Esau I hate. Who's Esau end up being? The firstborn. Now, the mystery, if I can use that word, is the fact that in the Old Testament, the greatest benefit that could happen to you as a child is to be the firstborn. Because to you as the firstborn, hands were laid upon you, and all the blessings, all the property, all the wealth went to the firstborn. But it's interesting to note that God turns around, and even though He's the one that set that mission in order, He now turns around and He says, as it's written, I said unto her, the elder will serve the younger. And then He says, we're in the New Testament, and Paul is explaining, God set this in order to share with you. The reason He couldn't fulfill this is because of the evil nature of firstborn. We must be born again. Your goodness will not save you. So why did God love Jacob and hate Esau? Exodus 11:5. I think one of the most eye-opening events is the fact, I remember I was teaching a Sunday school class in a rather large church, and I was hadn't been in church a long time, and I remember teaching on when the Lord comes back and the saints of God and the Lord Jesus will destroy and slay the people on the earth, and one of the elders in that class came and he says, I've never heard such a teaching. That's almost anti-God. And I didn't rebuke him, and I just read you what the scriptures say. People don't realize that God has another side besides love. But the point I'm trying to get to is this. What we're about to see is, we're about to see of the largest event that changed the course of human history in the church world or in the church of that day, the Jew. It set them free, made them a people, gave unto us the ability today to be a church. And that is in Exodus whenever God says, I'm going to kill all the firstborn. Now, who killed the firstborn? Well, let's read the Bible. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh, and this is God speaking through Moses. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits on the throne to the firstborn of the maidservants behind the mill, all the firstborn of the beasts. Next chapter, Exodus 12:29. So it comes to pass at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn. Who killed the firstborn? You'd call it the death angel. God said, I did it. Why? Because He is laying the fundamental foundation that people that fight being born again are rebellious. You're really saying, I want to stay in control. I've joined the church. I'm a part of the commonwealth. I have Abraham as my father. I'm in the group. I'm of Israel. He says, no, you're not. You're not all Israel. And of course, we can get into the lesson where God from the very beginning uses repentance, blood, water, spirit. These three agree in one. The word three is used two times in the New Testament. Both of them in the epistles of John. Blood, water, spirit. These three agree in one. The Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit. These three are one. There's a difference between agreeing in one and being one. And so what we see is we see that blood, water, spirit is used all throughout the Bible because it is the complete message of how to be born again. It's the message of the temple, the tabernacle, Christ, the apostles, the Old Testament types and shadows. So we see now that even though God said, I'm going to kill the firstborn, we are saved by grace through the operation of faith. Grace never saved anyone if only grace was relied upon. It was faith. The Bible doesn't teach grace saves. God's grace means unmerited favor. The first place it's used is when He gives Noah a plan whereby he might be saved. Had Noah not built the ark and had not stepped out in faith, he would have been lost. So with every judgment God gives, God's grace gives a plan of salvation. So His plan of salvation in the Old Covenant, in this Old Testament, as He begins it with Israel, as they're in bondage, which is a type of us as sinners, is He's telling you, if you're firstborn, I've got to slay you. Your nature will not be allowed in the kingdom because you're a rebellious being. Amen. You love yourself, you justify yourself, you can get along with yourself. Everybody's stupid but you. Hello? And I'm smiling for anyone listening. But He says, however, I've got a plan whereby you can still live, but you've got to apply blood. Now, it's going to seem like I'm stretching some of these scriptures. Maybe I am, but in my thought process, I'm not. God always slays the firstborn unless they cover themselves with blood. What we are looking at is Leviticus chapter 17. God's word tells us, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. So what we are seeing is, whenever they covered themselves with blood of a spotless lamb, a sinless individual, the lamb that would take away the sin of the world, a typology of a spotless lamb in the Old Testament, I am actually doing a transfusion. I'm actually immersing myself, covering myself now with sinless blood. The life is in the blood. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. And so the life of the flesh is in the blood. I gave it to you upon the altar to make an atonement and atonement for your soul. Matthew 1 and 25. Now, we're talking about God is going to kill the firstborn. Everything is a snapshot that as you grow in His knowledge, then as you study the commentary of the New Testament, it builds upon the pictures you have in the Old. And so when we get to Matthew chapter 1, 25, I immediately understand firstborn have to be redeemed. I immediately understand firstborn die. I immediately understand if I don't redeem the firstborn, I've got to break the neck of an ass. God likens us to the only animal in the Bible, man, to a mule. He actually says a jackass. And so it's showing us our stubborn nature. Does anyone agree that man is stubborn? Amen. See, none of you do. That proves it right there. I'm kidding. Okay. So let's watch what happens in Matthew. So we turn around. Let's think about how you got here today. 15.5 billion years ago, God looses the elements. 4.5 billion years ago, dust ball forms, the earth cools down. Stardust lands. God makes you out of what He created in the beginning. He makes the only man He ever is going to create out of the earth, Adam. He comes down. He lives in Adam. My opinion is the radiance of Adam, the electrical impulse that we have, our spirit and soul, whenever you're dead, that electrical impulse is gone. It was so great, He glowed. He was bathed in light. I don't think we get a white robe when we get to heaven. It'd get dirty. I think we bathed in white light, but when He lost the Spirit of God, this is my opinion. The light went out and He saw He was naked. He lost what God did in the earth because God wanted man to have dominion, reign, and rule. But the one that wanted to reign and rule in heaven, Hasatan, Satan comes down, and what's he do? He seduces through the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. So man loses the spirit and communication of God. He no longer can telecommunicate, so to speak, with God. And so now we come and God has to let us understand, okay, I'm not going to condemn you. There's a day I've got to destroy this planet, bathe it in fire this time, and start all over again. But I'm out of my mercy and my grace, I'm going to give every man, woman, and child an opportunity. They can be born again. Okay? So what we see is, because He slew the firstborn, Matthew chapter 1, verse 25, speaking of Mary, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, called His name Yeshua, Jesus. And so even though Jesus is the firstborn, God slays Him too. It's appointed once to every man to
die.
Enoch and Elijah didn't. They'll be back. They'll die. When? I personally believe they're the two witnesses that are killed. When are they killed? They're killed on Passover. Everything's done according to the feast. You study the days. When are they resurrected? 3.5 days later. First fruits. All right. So, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Yeshua. Now, we're going to get into who Jesus is. He's a multifaceted being. To me, He's God in the flesh. He's a visible image of the invisible God. You can't put all of God in any tabernacle because God's not in the universe. The universe is in God. But when I talk about God, I immediately see Jesus. I don't know what you see, and that's up to you. But I'm just telling you what I see. And so what we see is here, Colossians 1:15, staying on this firstborn nature in this portion of being spirit immersed, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, that's a whole nother lesson. But we're going to see where Christ is the firstborn. He was the firstborn twice. He was the firstborn. When you were made in God's image, you were given two eyes, two ears, a nose, a body, a soul, and a spirit. That's the image of God in immortality. Jesus was given two eyes and ears and nose. He was given a spirit. He was also given the Holy Ghost. Without measure. But he had two spirits. He had a soul that went to hell. But it didn't stay there. Oh, so here's what we see. But he is the creative act of God. And that's a whole other lesson. Therefore, even though Jesus is never called the eternal Son. This is deep. This is for the adult class. He is always only, because it is the rightly dividing the word, the begotten. That means this day he was created. But in the portions or in the different offices and manifestations of God, the Rhema, the Word of God that was manifest as Christ, God spoke everything into existence. Therefore, Christ being the Word incarnate, He dwelt with God because He was the computer bank that God creates all things through. He is the Logos, the extreme thought and plan of God. Let me get off that. Colossians 1:18. Point I wanted to get out of that scripture for today is He's the firstborn. We're staying with that here. Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. Now let's look at this. Is the Bible correct? Once you understand that it is. I still have many things that I'm not clear on, but I realize I've been doing this long enough that it's because the Bible doesn't contradict itself. I haven't grown in knowledge. And so when we see He's the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, not only was Christ killed, He was a firstborn by God's will. But what we then see is He's the firstborn from the dead. Everybody that died in the Old Testament went to Sheol. They went to hell. But it was the center of the earth. What happened? Well, they couldn't ascend to the Father because the sinless blood hadn't been there. Only two men did. Enoch and Elijah. Remember whenever He calls up the prophet Samuel, he comes up out of the belly of the earth. There was a great gulf. That's another lesson. But until Christ ascended, every man that died was trapped in paradise or on the other side in the holding cells. It wasn't a place of torment. They were in Abraham's bosom. But yet, Christ had to ascend and sprinkle the perfect, offer the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost of heaven, so to speak, the throne of God, that which has been and will be. Once you learn the pictures of God, you're looking at the same snapshots over and over and over. So once you get the snapshot, you start researching it, and we're different. Because in the New Testament, we're having to go back and learn the original snapshots.
Amen.
Do you see what I'm saying? And then we can walk all through the Bible. Back then, they had already seen the snapshots. Now they had to be taught the interpretation in the New Testament of what they had seen spiritually. We understand some things spiritually, but now we've got to go back to research the snapshots. That which has been shall be from now on. So, he is now the firstborn of the dead. Why? Because God's plan is the firstborn always receive all the property, all the wealth, all the benefits. And so there's no end, and I have to limit myself because every scripture opens up so many corridors. And if I wasn't taping it and wasn't so proud of staying on subject, I'd run down some of these rabbit trails. But every subject, as you grow in your knowledge, rather than of batting averages and hockey scores and turn off the TV, you're going to find out you can take trips and never leave the farm when you get into the Word of God. It's vast. All right. Next slide. Romans 8. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So as we learn about this firstborn and the battle that went on, even in the womb of the promised child, Father Isaac, who was the miracle son, who was offered on Calvary's hill, thousands of years before Christ, was packed to the hill of Golgotha. And what do we see? From his seed of promise, he was born to Abraham when there was no physical way. We see in the womb, from his seed, there were two natures, Esau and Jacob. God says, I hate Esau, I love Jacob. Esau's the firstborn. Then we see where God kills the firstborn because of what Adam did. Life's in the blood. We put on a sin nature. We followed our father and we had the ability to do the lust thereof. Do I have a witness? All right. So now then he's going to turn around and he's going to share with us that in this new covenant, in the world to come, we will redeem what was lost in the earth, and that is the firstborn will reign and rule. So what are we doing? We are now going to be transformed from, don't anyone misinterpret this, we're going to be transformed in the world to come, in the Olam Haba, from the image of Adam to the image of Christ, the firstborn of many brethren. Did that make sense? Chew on that for a while. Hebrews 11, 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So why do we have all this emphasis on the firstborn? Well, let's study this. Let's go back to our Bible for a moment and let's look, as we've already discussed, the firstborn man. Who was the firstborn man in your Bible? No, Adam wasn't born.
Cain.
Cain is the firstborn person. Adam was perfect. Someone said, did he have a navel? I believe he did, but anyway. I don't think it was connected to the earth either. But the point being, God bless Mother Earth, someone said. But the point being is Cain's the firstborn man. And so he's supposed to receive all the wealth, but God's sharing by his election. Remember what we read earlier? God foreordained in his knowledge that we would see his plan. Nicodemus, don't you understand? Since Adam fell, you've got to be born again. All right. So woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain. Now, the way of Cain is do thy own will. And when someone tries to correct you, get angry. You study this. 1 John 3 and 12. Not as Cain, who was of that what? Is he talking about Adam or the devil? Or both? How can he say Cain was of the wicked one? I'll let you figure that out. And slew his brother. And wherefore he slew him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's were righteous. This is the war that's going on in the earth today. This is why you see governments want to take away religious freedoms. And I'm jumping subjects. But, you know, if I teach long enough, I'm trying to get everything before I die on tape. But what we see is this. We see that the devil's plan is always to get control of a government. This is what the book of Daniel is all about. At a certain time, you will bow to the image. This is what we see in the New Testament and in Revelations. And so what we are seeing happening in America, in my opinion right now, is we're going to lose religious freedoms because you will wear your seatbelt. You say, I'll never do that when they first pass that law. You do now, don't you? And that one at least was for your own good. But if they pass a law, then they've got you. And that is exactly what the enemy, the god of this world, Satan, has always done, is to raise up a proud people that are the father of the devil. They are of the seed of Leviathan, the children of pride, that they would reign and rule. And what do? They always come against the righteous. And that's why the Bible says, in the last day, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, I'm off subject. No, I'm really not. I'm right on subject. Okay. That's why you don't think like certain people think. And they don't get where you're coming from. They can't even hear what you're saying. They don't see your example. The truth is, they see you as being evil. You're the problem. You are a narrow-minded nimwit. You have the IQ of a dial tone in room temperature. You have no brain. You're a Bible believer. And it doesn't matter. Without divine intervention, they would lock you up and believe you're... Now, not the Muslims that kill people that don't believe like them, but us peace lovers, we're the cause and the scourge of the earth. Because we don't condone certain sin. Any sin. And I can just keep going. So this all has to do with the firstborn and the secondborn nature. You can have a household. Many of us have a household where brothers and sisters are diametrically opposed because one is Christ, Christian, and the other one's not. And you wonder what's going on. Well, they're two different natures, Esau and Jacob. Husband and wife, be ye not equally... If you want to know, it scares me when men and women get desperate so they go find a mate. Are you marrying Esau? Romans 9 and 13, as it's written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. That's pretty strong words from God, isn't it? I hate him so much, I'm going to kill the firstborn. Oh, but I love my creation so much, I'll give you an antidote if you'll get covered with the blood and get born again. Oh, if you'll get in the ark. Oh, if you'll let the angels rescue you out of Sodom and Gomorrah. God's grace allows you to have faith be delivered. Am I the only one in here that thinks it's warm at this point? All right. Hebrews 12 and 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat, what'd he do? Maybe that's why God hates him. He sold his birthright. Didn't mean anything to him. Hebrews 11 and 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now watch what God did. He outsmarted the devil, which doesn't take much for God to do. So what we see is, how did this happen? Do you know what you just read here? Let me reread this and let's see if you catch the importance. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. Whoa! Who's the firstborn son? So why did Isaac bless Jacob? No! Because Jacob deceived and won the birthright back. He dresses in old smelly goat hair, goes into his father, and this is exactly... I'm going to stretch you. There's a lot I'd like to say here. You ready? What did God do to the devil? He put on skin, came into the father of lies. He killed a righteous man. Therefore, he got back the birthright. Now, I'm trying to bring... In this class, there's some levels that I can't speak, and I'm trying to give this, and not because I'm all wise and all knowing. But if you don't understand the basic fundamentals, not what you learned in the American watered down church, then how can we go on without having to give 28 scriptures and 13 lessons so we can make one statement? Everybody go, oh yeah, I get that. Romans 9, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. So we're back seeing here in the New Testament where God Himself says, in this life, in the world here, not the world to come, I've had to set it up to where the secondborn is going to reign and rule over the firstborn, because the firstborn nature is terrible. Does everyone catch what God's doing? Now, is that a mistake when Jesus said you must be born again? So people that operate in their firstborn nature are of their father, the devil. Now, that's bold, and oh, you'll even get other preachers tell you, flee from my teaching, that's fine. If you need to do that, go. But I'm trying to share with you, I'm not calling myself a demon. I'm not calling you a devil. But who am I communicating with if I don't have the Spirit of Christ? Who's controlling my thinking? Well, that's why I watch a lot of TV, because I know I'm hearing from God. Some of those channels are amazing. Boy, God, you did a good job on that one. But anyway, 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now, all these things happen to them for an example. Dear Lord, is it that late? And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So what we're seeing is just, I'm reiterating through Scripture, these things aren't accidents. They're done as an example for you and I to look at. In other words, this word ensample means the pattern, the conformity. These things all conform to what it is that God has done, and what, so that we can understand that we won't be deceived. Well, it's funny when we look at Moses and Aaron. I'm going to read you the first place the word Moses is mentioned, and then I'm going to read you the first place the word Aaron's mentioned. And there's so many coincidences in the Bible. Exodus 2 and 10 is the first place Moses' name is mentioned. And the child grew, and she brought him into Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. She said, because I drew him out of the water. He's born again. He can lead us in the things of God. He had to be brought out of the water. Now, that's just a typology of immersion. There's many typologies. So once you get tied into the snapshots, you're going to see where God just throws little pieces of the picture in each important story, and they're all important. Are you with me? Now watch. So in Exodus 2, Moses is mentioned. But we've got Aaron, and Aaron, who becomes the high priest, isn't mentioned to Exodus 4. Well, Pastor, what's the big deal? Because Aaron's Moses' older brother. Aaron was already around when Moses came on the scene, but God doesn't mention him. Why not? Because the elder shall rule. No, because the younger shall rule the elder. And so what we're about to see here in the earth before the world to come happens, we've got to be born again and follow our born again nature. Be born again means you've already been born once, which means this second nature we receive is the younger, so that the elder will serve the younger spirit born again. Are you with me? Okay. And Aaron, and so here we know the story, but and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? And I know he can speak well. Now, Moses has already said, I don't speak well. We find out in the New Testament he was eloquent of speech. And also, behold, he comes to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. Now, this is a typology of being born again. Moses is a type of Christ. A type of Christ in you, the hope of glory. What's the hope of glory, everybody? Christ in you. What's Christ in you? The Holy Spirit. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. And that's what John 14 teaches. Jesus isn't sending another comforter. Church teaches that. They don't read the next scripture. Oh, he's sending the third person, the Holy Spirit. No, that's not what he says at all. You added that. His teaching is, says, I will send another comforter. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. I am with you, but I shall be in you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. The scriptures seem to, just like when Jesus says the Father, prays to the Father, and he says the Father's greater than I. Why? Because the man Jesus had no power at all. He was just the flesh. You don't have any power, do you? You're just the house of God. But God can do as He wills in His own house if you're His house. Anyway, get off that. Okay, so here's what we see. And so he says, now I want to tell you something, Moses. He says, what you tell Aaron to say, he'll say. And thou shalt speak unto him, put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and his mouth. And I will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be your spokesman of the people. And he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. And thou shalt be to him instead of God. So what we see is the younger brother Moses is the one that God uses. And he tells Moses, I'm going to make you God unto Aaron. What you tell him to say, he'll say. What you show him to do, he'll do. But yet, every time Aaron does a miracle or does something, he's standing next to Moses. Dual nature. spirit, flesh. And the first time Moses, representing the spirit, the born again, leaves Aaron, isn't it funny? God didn't say, hey, have Aaron come up with you. No, I don't want that nature up here. Why? Well, he's down there building a golden calf right now. Because as soon as you get Holy Spirit or Moses away from the elder flesh brother, he goes back to being just what he is. A man listening to his father and fulfilling his own lust.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you see that?
Yes.
So that may seem like I'm stretching it. But these pictures are not, these stories in the Bible are not by accident. They are given to us for a reason. Genesis 48. When Joseph saw his father, remember the story of Joseph thrown in prison, blah, 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 blah. He has two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Now he's about to, his father's name is Jacob, who God changed his name because he has to be born again too, because Jacob means supplanter to Israel, prince with God. And so Israel, Jacob is about dual natured. Israel's about to pass the blessing of the father onto the children, and watch what Jacob does. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, Joseph says, oh, hold on, Dad, you're blowing it. You need to move this hand from Ephraim's to Manasseh's. And Joseph said to his father, my father, this is the firstborn. This is the one you're supposed to bless. No. No, you don't get it. We're living in the now. Firstborn nature can't serve God. I'm going to pass the birthright on to the secondborn nature. This is a pattern that if I'm stretching, you're going to find hidden pictures all throughout the Old Testament. This will align with Scripture. Therefore, go join your church and join Israel. It doesn't mean you're an Israelite. You've got to be born again.
Amen.
Joining my church, and this isn't my church, joining Huffman Church will not any more save you than becoming a member at Hot Springs Horse Track. But it will give you a greater opportunity to have your faith moved to where you can be obedient to be being born again. If I were belonging to this church and I had to listen to someone like me get up and yap about being born again of the water and spirit, I'd be seeking the Holy Ghost, because either I'm an absolute liar, an idiot, and deceived, and you need to leave, or you need what I'm preaching about.
Amen.
There's no in between. So either figure it out. Either I'm a liar and a deceiver, and you're in the wrong church, or you need to seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because I'm telling you, you need to be born again.
Amen.
And I got that on tape, and we're going to play it worldwide.
Amen.
You need to be born again. I don't care how old-fashioned it is. It doesn't matter how popular it is. It's the message of the Word of God.
Amen.
All right.
Yes.
So it was written, 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 45 through 47. And so it's written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, who was the last Adam? Christ. God only made two men. He formed Adam. Out of the dust, he spoke Christ. And the things he spoke, he said, it's good. All right. And at last Adam was made a quickening spirit, Yeshua, Jesus. Howbeit that which is not first is spiritual, but it's natural. And that afterward which is spiritual. The first man's earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. You must be born again. That's why Jesus in John 3 and 5 says, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Romans 8, 7 and 14. Because the carnal mind is enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. I didn't write this. Is it okay if I read Bible to you?
Yep.
It's okay if I read Bible. How many believe the Bible's true?
Amen.
We'll read it again. Your earthly thinking in all of your intellect and intelligence is the enemy of God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither can be. So isn't it funny, the more intelligent that a majority of people become, the less godly they are, but the more self-righteous they become and wise in their own eyes? I can prove that to you because I'm absolutely right, because my Bible says not many wise, not many noble, not many mighty men after the flesh. I'm just glad I was a dumb old whatever and was able to believe the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
Okay. But you are not, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're not born again, go ahead and do all your righteous acts. Mother Teresa, who as far as we know was never born again, was a great religious leader. You read her writings, she didn't even believe in God towards her death. Wondered if there was a God. You can do many righteous... The Bible says, even though I give my body to be burned, what's that prove? Someone was sharing with me the other day. Billy Graham, a great man, ends up believing there's one God, but many, many different ways. You know, you need to be born again. Period. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if... Boy, that's a big little word. If so be the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Wow. That's why there are so many ideas about this born-again experience. We don't want to call our members, you're following your father, the devil. God's built a lot of churches off people following their father, the devil. Most churches can't get along long enough, so they'll split and birth another church. That's unity. All right, let's go on. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit, he's none of his. And if Christ, if... See this little word big? And if Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of His righteousness. Righteousness. But if... There's that big word again. Is if by accident? But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to flesh, to live after flesh. For if you live after flesh, you're going to die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ouch, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Galatians 3:14. Hey, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles for Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And it came to pass that while Apollos, Acts 19, verses 1 through 5, last slide. It came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. He found certain disciples. We are now in the book of Acts, many, many years after the resurrection of Christ. Paul is and Peter are preaching the gospel, and they are preaching the gospel of the resurrection of Christ, and they are preaching the born-again experience of now. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Be immersed into Christ. Receive what He came to give, the promise of the Father, the new covenant. This is we'll continue on in the next lesson into this thought process. So he says, as he comes to these disciples, he says, hey, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I was almost 30 years old before I knew I could be born again of the Spirit. I joined a church at 13. You can outgrow a church. When I can no longer feed you, you either need to start teaching or go somewhere else. And I want you to stay as long as you're supposed to stay, but you're not mine. You're God's. You're not God's, but you belong to God, okay? And I love everyone. Don't want you to leave. And that's why I keep digging, because I don't want you to go. I want to keep being able to teach you. But when you get to where you don't learn anything new, you're in the wrong place. Or else you're at a place where it's time to start teaching and helping leadership. I don't know. My hat is off to people that go hear the same five stories 20 different ways year in, year out. I couldn't do it. I'm just telling you, I couldn't do it. That's just me. And they said, we haven't even heard about the Holy Ghost. This is our job. How can people receive what they do not know is available? This is what the apostles were doing. They weren't preaching one God, so to speak, because they first went to the house of Israel. They already knew, Hero Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our God. Blah, 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 blah. So why were they preaching? Yeshua, the image of the invisible, has come to earth. Why? That He could fill us with the promise of the Father, the Spirit. We could be revitalized like Adam was. It's no longer a ritual of 613 laws only. Even though the law is spiritual, I'm not, therefore I cannot obey it. They said, we haven't even heard of the Holy Ghost. He said, well, what were you immersed? Ooh, that's an interesting... Why did He say that? Why did He say that? Why did He say that? They said, we haven't heard of the Holy Ghost. He says, well, then how were you baptized if you weren't baptized with the Holy Ghost? See, today we don't even catch how it's being said. We have been taught... The thing that really blew my mind as I walked away from religion and said, God, just lead us, is that most religions take their truth back to Rome. Yes. You don't go to Rome. You go to Jerusalem. Yes. Rome's where the religion got perverted.
That's right.
Rome is where the problem is. Yes. Well, that doesn't sound good, does it? Nothing I say does to the world. I already found out I'm not for very many people. But here's what we see. So what happens is, so you study Rome, and then you go study religion. You go study the one across the street, or the one down there, the one over there. And they've taken two steps out of Rome, and they think they've really arrived. And they quit traveling. And then when one of them gets new revelation, they got to throw him out. He can't stay in their organization because he's now teaching something that would offend all the things they taught all these years.
That's right.
I'm just being honest with you. You know, y'all just showing up at churches and putting your money in the plate and blah, blah, black sheep, have you any wool? Yes, sir. Yes, you. Thank you. Make mine full. But what we see is we see the power of religion binds. You need a spirit that wants truth. You need something that says whatever the Word says. If the Bible taught me I had to paint my nose blue and my ears red to be saved, I'd have a blue nose and red ears. It wouldn't matter who thought what. And if it teaches me I've got to repent of my sins, be immersed in water and fully buried with Him, be born again of the water and the Spirit, speak in other tongues, be filled with spiritual gifts, bring the flesh, then so be it.
Amen.
Now, for all the legalistic ones, if it said don't grow facial hair, I wouldn't have it. If it told my wife she couldn't cut her hair, she wouldn't cut it. But if it doesn't say it, leave it alone. But what it does say, learn what it means and obey it. Boy, that's good teaching. So he said, what were you baptized? Boy, that's a little bold for this Sunday school lesson. All you that are listening, disregard all of that. And he said to them, what were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. He baptized for what? Repentance. Water. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with repentance, saying to the people that you should believe on Him which should come after. What did I teach you John preached? He that comes after me, whose shoes I am not worthy to untie, he shall immerse you with the Holy Ghost. Into what then were you baptized? And I had to be almost 30. And you got people going to churches that are 60 and 70 and 80, and they've been in church every Sunday, and they've never even heard about being baptized in the Holy Ghost. They got born again. Now, here's where we're probably headed. I wanted to have question and answer. We don't have time. Here's where we're probably headed. The big controversy is, how do you know you're born again? Show it to me in the Bible. Show me your experience in the Bible. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God richly blessed you. Hurry next door. And those of you that listen to my teaching, I'm body, soul, spirit. I'm going to bore you today. By order from the boss, my wife, and a few others in this church, they want us to record this series that I've started. So I'm going to teach lesson one again on body, soul, spirit that I taught a few Wednesday nights ago. God bless you. See you next door in Jesus' name.